Welcome to the World War One at Home podcast with me, Helen Mark. For terms and conditions, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts. Harland and Wolff in Belfast was once one of the busiest and best-known shipbuilders in the world. The shipyard has built many famous vessels, including RMS Titanic and HMS Belfast, and during World War I turned out a number of monitors and cruisers, including HMS Glorious. But less well-known is its role in building phantom or dummy ships, complete with false guns, to confuse the German Navy. Local journalist Alf McCreary takes up the story at Queen's Island.
I'm standing at the seaward end of a Thompson dock. This place came to being at the end of the 19th century. I got to the point where a war with Germany really was inevitable. So it was important that they built up enough ships for the Navy. Lord Perry, who was then the chairman of Harland and Wolff, he said, in fact, that he would not be able to build these big ships because there was no proper dock for this. So they were given permission to build a large dock. It was finished in 1911. One of the hidden stories about Harland's and the Belfast Harbour in the First World War is that they built a number of phantom ships. They actually were cargo ships, which were converted into dummy battleships. It sounds like a fairy tale, but it's true. They even had false gun turrets, false chimneys, and they were so ingenious that they could light a fire in the hearth of the chimney and produce smoke. And it was a brainchild of no less than Winston Churchill. There was one phantom ship was moored off New York, and it kept a German battleship at bay for a long time because they were afraid it was a real thing. And so a number of these were built in Belfast, and the first one to go out was the City of Oxford, which became the HMS St. Vincent. And then the robbers with very well-known naval names. It was the Collingwood, the Iron Duke, the Orion, the Marlborough, and then there was one called the Audacious. But there was an HMS Audacious, which had difficulties at sea. The Olympic tried to tow her in, and she didn't make it. But rather than let it be known that this ship had been lost, Churchill instructed people to say she was being fitted out in Belfast. And so they fitted out a cargo vessel called the Montcalm, which became the Audacious. And that was an early example of black propaganda in our own city. Now, Harland's then employed 2,000 people with special skills, shipwrights and other trades. And I'm sure that the Belfast men had a great laugh at building these dummy ships to fox the Kaiser. The whole idea of giving some of these new ships false names, they would have loved that. I mean, I can just imagine the Belfast men saying, you know, we've got one across the Kaiser now. There was a man called Captain Forbes, and he served on a number of these dummy battleships. He wrote home to his family with details of covering the various commands. He had the distinction of being the oldest officer to serve afloat in the First World War. The Olympic herself, which was one of the great flagships of this shipyard, she came in 1915. She was refitted and became a hospital ship used for, you know, casualties and for people who had been injured. And then the Britannic, she became a hospital ship, and then she had a very sad ending. She was sunk off a Greek island by a mine, and with 30 people dead. What they also did, they built a number of monitor vessels, which were really warships. And then they built also what they called the standard ships, which were liners, merchant vessels, because one of the problems was as the war progressed, Britain lost an awful lot of merchant shipping because of U-boats. All these vessels, including Olympic, had camouflage, and apparently they were hard to pick out at sea. towards the end of the war, they were repairing submarines. They also produced themselves some submarine engines, which they hadn't done before. Harland was so advanced that they actually converted a seagoing vessel, a battleship, into what was one of their first seaplane carriers. Very many people in Northern Ireland, never mind from abroad, have no idea of the history and the rich heritage in this part of Belfast. This harbour and this city and this shipyard played fully their part to defend king and empire.
Queen's Island in Belfast. To hear more stories and find out more details about the war, go to bbc.co.uk/World War I.